Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, when we ended quarter number three, before we got into other individuals who did play in the Outback Bowl for Penn State, we were having the conversation about the guys who opted out. Perhaps the young players, Jamari Bowden and Kobe King, decided not to burn their red shirt, which may lead you to think, hey, what was the coaching staff thinking when they played them in that fourth game? Knowing you may have opt-outs in the bowl game and you may need these young guys to play. But we also, during our break, we were discussing, or I brought it up to you, and I'd like to get your thought on this, is you had in two players, Derek Tangelo and Arnold DiBichitti, they were transfers in, which means they started attending Penn State in the fall. And if they opted out after that last game in November against Michigan State, I'm assuming they then, okay, we're done. We're going off somewhere to get ready for the combine. These are two players who probably never finished even one semester at Penn State. For some reason, that rubs me wrong.
All I know is if that's me in that situation, I'm not, like, if I've got the degrees that I want, if I'm only enrolled in a master's program, for example, so I can continue playing football, then once football is done, I probably wouldn't care either. And if that rubs people the wrong way, then so be it. If that doesn't really detract from any of my goals, you know, and I would take criticism for saying so, I guess. But why would I finish out the classes, right? Like, and I think it's just the system that they're in, and maybe it's a little bit of abuse of that system, abuse of being a fifth year guy or a sixth year guy or whatever. Why would I be concerned if I've already got the degrees that I want? But I mean, and these are both guys that, you know, you can wonder. And I think you mentioned it before, like, okay, Arnold DiBichitti coming from Temple, you know, this is not the college football playoff semifinals, but this is still a January 1st bowl game against an SEC opponent. I mean, I feel like there could be reason to play. I'm not faulting anybody who doesn't play, by the way. I'm actually more on that side than anything else, but I think you can make the case for DiBichitti to get one last swipe at it. I certainly think that Derek Tangelo could have been at least as well served playing in this game as not playing in this game. And being able to kind of help a defense that needed his size and experience. I didn't really think that he was, you know, he doesn't go into this process as being a surefire NFL draft pick of any kind to me. So I don't know that you know, staying healthy through the bowl game was much of a difference. But, you know, this is where we're at in college football, and resisting the fact that college football players have more power today than they ever have before, it's just part of where we're at now. And whatever Derek Tangelo decides for himself, I can't fault that. That is your decision, your life. If you think preserving yourself through injury is an important thing to you, which it is for everybody who wants to play in the NFL, then I got no problem with that. To me, I mean, just looking at it on paper, he probably could have helped himself a little bit more by playing and having a nice day on Saturday.
With everything you said, Dusty, my only takeaway was you didn't care about my feelings. So,
correct.
Anyway, let's move on. But I'm hurt, okay? let's talk about some of the guys who were there. Let's start with Smith Vilbert. Actually, he did quite the job. Three sacks in the first half. And he really looked the part, didn't he?
He's always looked the part, Jim. I mean, this, you know, when you're talking about silver linings for this game and this situation and snaps being up for grabs, he was on the short list of guys who can benefit the most from that. Because athletically, lengthwise, quickness-wise, in terms of his body control and balance, I mean, he is a pretty special athlete. And I think having the opportunity to play and create some chaos really create some good positive momentum for him going into to next year, where now you're looking at it and everybody's excited about what Smith-Vilbert brings back, and everybody's excited about the fact that, okay, this guy feels a lot less like the unknown. We have something that we can dream upon here, that that he can be an impact player next year, and it might not have happened if you didn't have the opt-out. So, you know, in terms of individuals like stepping up and showing themselves and creating some momentum for next year, good on him. You know, I think he looked like a guy who can pretty consistently get to the passer because his athletic profile has always suggested that he could. And now this serves as some degree of proof that in real live games that you can count on Smith-Vilbert to create a little chaos off the edge.
We said earlier in the show that Parker Washington was following in Jahan Dotson's footsteps. We also, earlier when we heard Jair Brown was coming back, he's following in Jaquan Brisker's footsteps. And two interceptions, discount the second one, like, didn't do a whole lot for it. But that first interception was an example of the kind of play you expect from Brisker. Read the play, went a long way to get there and make the interception down in the red zone where things really matter. Love that play from Jair Brown, and he's our next Brisker.
The similarities just go on and on. But did we? It feels like it was like 3 years ago now. But didn't early in the season we had Jair Brown cover pretty much 2/3 of the field to make an interception on the sideline earlier this year? So
yes.
I think it suggests a number of things. First of all, just the diagnosis of it and the hustle part of it. The willingness to really run hard for a long stretch to put yourself in position to make a play. And so I think, you know, there's a certain amount of hunger with Jair Brown, just like there's a certain amount of hunger with Jaquan Brisker, which, you know, that is what made Brisker such a special player. Athletically and physically, you know, he checked all the boxes too, but playing with that style and that relentlessness, you know, I think you see that from Jair Brown, which, you know, this was Jair Brown, his 5th and 6th interceptions of the year. So this is where the similarities start to break away a little bit, because Jair Brown plays a little bit more like that roaming center fielder type safety, where Jaquan Brisker, he could do a little bit of everything, but was a much better player, I think, a little closer to the line of scrimmage. So I think Jair Brown, you know, has carved out his own personality, but I'm with you. Like that interception in the end zone, if he's not there sprinting from the other side of the field, that's a wide open touchdown. And I think just to get there and make a play on it is great to create a takeaway in a situation where your defense was pushed around on that drive, and that erased all of it. Kind of played into the fact that they got their footing in the second quarter of this game too. So you kind of feel the far flinging impact that he can make by making a play like that.
You're exactly right. And he may not ever be the same player that Brisker is, but I do think he is a complete safety. I think he's a willing tackler. I think he's willing to come up in the box and make plays to tackle that I'm not sure a lot of other players on this defense have been doing. So I'm really impressed with Jair Brown.
And I would add, okay, the second interception was gift wrapped to him. But how many Penn State defensive backs have we seen over the past 2 or 3 years have that ball gift wrapped to him and just not make the catch? Be that sort of stereotypical, like, this is why he's a defensive back and not a wide receiver. He made the catch, Jim.
And you know what, Dusty? You're right. I shouldn't have trivialized it. And the way you framed it, I think I was just so impressed by the first one. Yeah. That the second one just, you're right, routine play, you know, and he didn't drop it. Anyone else, we might have expected the drop. All right, Dustin, with all that said about this game, this was game one of the 2022 season, which leaves us with the question, all right, what do we need in free agency to fill out our lineup?
Yeah, I mean, I think you like the good young mix of defensive tackles, but I don't think you go into this offseason counting on three or four of those guys becoming grown men overnight. I think you're going to see development. You're going to see guys like Keziah Izzard and Devon Ellis really capitalize on their experience and build. But I do think, in addition to bringing PJ Mustipher back, presumably, you could probably use another Derek Tangelo type player, somebody who doesn't necessarily need to be a star, but who can occupy blockers and who can be a force up front and hold his ground, because you were missing that in both of those positions. You were missing that. And these sophomore types who still have some building to do, who are still, you know, in some respects more boys than men, just didn't have much of a shot against that big Arkansas line with that humongous quarterback and their talented running back. I mean, just not much of a chance there. You need somebody to be another anchor type figure, I think, at defensive tackle. I think it'll be interesting to see how they feel about their young linebackers, because are you going to bring in a guy who's been a 2-year starter someplace to maybe compete for that middle linebacker job, or do you feel good about the pieces you've got coming back? Including the redshirt preserver, Kobe King, Jamari Budden. So how do you feel about these young linebackers will dictate whether you're aggressive and whether you are seeking out a true veteran linebacker. At this stage of the game, I mean, however many experienced, competitive, you know, angry offensive linemen you can get, you need to get them. You know, I think bringing in guys who have experience at other programs can only help, because I don't know. I mean, I think most fans would look at this situation and look at the types of kids that they're recruiting and the type of developing that's going on and say, you know, where are things not working? Okay, let's get a guy or two from outside the Penn State program, bring him in here for the experience and maybe that kind of culture changer, and try to stabilize this group, because something's got to be done, Jim. And I think bringing in an experienced offensive lineman or two has to be part of that equation.
I agree with you. And a little bit, the transfer portal right now is also a little bit of process of elimination. You're bringing Nick Singleton, another highly regarded running back. I think you're okay there. You're bringing in two very highly regarded young quarterbacks, and you've got your veteran quarterback coming back. Okay there. You already brought in a good wide receiver in the portal. You're good there. I think the defensive backfield, there's still a lot of talent there. What am I left with? And I guess tight end, I would say, is probably okay also. Offensive line, defensive line, linebacker. Get me some guys who've been there, done it, played. Can we get some experienced people like Ibukidi and Tangelo?
And you got guys that, maybe they are in position to make a leap. You know, your redshirt sophomore type players at tackle or linebacker or whatever, that at the very least getting a veteran or two at those spots will send a message that you're not being handed any jobs here. You're going to have to work for it. And if you're not ready to come in and compete at practice, you're not going to be ready for a starting job.
You're exactly right. I thought the linebacker crew was a little bit thin already this year, and losing two out of three starters, and probably the first guy you put in there is Jesse Lucada. You've lost him also, so that's three out of your top four linebackers are gone. You need to get some more bodies there. Dustin, that's it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.